Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings in the name of the Lord and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower. I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page at warn-usa.com. You can listen to our Warn Radio episodes on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Warn Radio is on the following platforms: Amazon Prime Music and Podcast, Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Spotify, Anchor, and Pocket Cast. Do not miss the featured posts this week of our in-depth biblical articles and radio shows, featured on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. As the mule is in understanding, so is America. A dramatic statement about a nation gone under and a people that has not yet realized it. This is the Righteous Lord, a prophetic psalm. In addition, we have the Righteous Lord, a prophetic psalm warning America. Featured on danaglennsmith.com, Enemies of the Messiah. I am searching the reins and hearts. A seasoned tale of redemption truth. Perilous living, best and worst of times. Featured on warn-usa.com, Prophetic Storm, Persecution, America, Pakistan, Nigeria, and Faith, Classic Warn Radio. Faith Advocacy Gospel News, Classic Warn Radio. Hebrews Son of God, Partakers of Christ, Part 4. Eternal Word Delivers Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 105 on Battle Lines. And don't miss these WIBR Warn Radio weekly shows. Wednesday's Advocacy from April 10th. The Gospel's Sake, Peril, Many Gods, Student Terrorists, Death Sentence, Martyrs, Christian Persecution on Warn Radio. Thursday's Battle Lines from April 11th. Everlasting Redeemer, Isaiah's Prophetic Book 213. And Friday's Sound the Shofar on April 12th. The Word of the Lord, Nations, Spirit, and Life, Part 13. And be sure to get your copy of The Rising. It's a Christian fiction thriller by the Watchman Dana G. Smith, a story of personal survival, the struggle of a nation, and the love of two people set amidst the prophetic landscape of perilous times. Hidden within the storyline of The Rising is the truth of what's happening in America now. Check out The Rising. When He Who Opposes Rises, Believers Overcome by Faith. And you can get your copy on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram, Walmart, Angus & Robertson. And The Rising ebook can be found on Google Play. You can get your copy of The Rising by, you can also get your copy of The Rising by going to danaglennsmith.com. Visit our Christian Books and Resource Shop, where we feature The Rising and other Christian books, as well as resources from our Vision Media. And now, I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglynsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. Yeah, we were in the sun. Now we're in the snow again. This week, snow came in.
Looks like winter, but I know it's not.
No, it's not. We had a bunch of deer in the backyard today, so you know it's getting spring. Because this begins the time when they go through our yard and find things to eat, so you have to watch your everything. They'll eat it.
Put up big fences.
Yeah. So there's a whole crew of them in the back. Well, there was, but the dog and I accidentally chased them away.
Accidentally?
So now they're across the fence staring at us. So, at any rate, we hope everything's fine in your neck of the woods. We're getting ready for summer. We're going to plant a garden. We're going to garden in the apocalypse. That was actually something I used to teach a lot and talk about, gardening in the apocalypse. Well, here we are with another advocacy for the persecuted church, Tower.
Yes.
And time just flies by.
Boy, it does.
And up front, we have an article we're featuring. And a seasoned tale of redemption truth. And every week we pick out one of our articles that are featured on our websites and we go through it. And it's not a long, it's just a short overview. You'll find this article over on danaglynsmith.com. And so when talking about a seasoned tale of redemption truth, this is one of my articles that feature prose. Prose is a special kind of writing that is, it brings a truth, but it's written in a way that you're brought into the story itself. And in this one, the truth of redemption, the garden, and even the keeping of seasons of celebration as humans are reflected around one fact. That fact is that one situation all humans find themselves in. A journey of truth from the serpent to the modern day is found. The final climax is one which today, as modern nations of men push their own agenda. The story begins with the people cast out from the very place they were begotten and served. The pair eventually settled down, had children, and lived as a family. A seasoned tale begins that from these two and their children, the earth was populated. Don't tell others, though, they will laugh. They can believe mankind originated from one cell amoebas, rather than the scriptural version. They surmise a higher race just planted us on earth, or even the Big Bang theory and the evolutionary chain to the final product, man. Of course, coming from an ape, they postulate. You see, their ancestors fell from the elevated state and blessing they were in. Now all they have is postulization. But in reality, no one admits, especially in a crowded room, they are all sinners. The soul which sins will die. Nope, not one would admit that. In fact, as they were and even today are in big trouble, you would never know it. And so we go through this, and when we talk about prose, it's not a poem, but it is a little different style of writing that brings you further into the story. And it's not like some of the other accounts, but it helps you to walk in there and see it and understand it. And so I've been doing prose and psalms and other kinds of writings for many, many years, and this is one of them. So this one is A Seasoned Tale of Redemption Truth. And you'll find it on on danaglennsmith.com. And one of the scriptures we have with this is Psalm 34, 2 through 8. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You know, I like this psalm.
I do too.
I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Boy, don't we need that today?
Yes, amen.
They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. A Seasoned Tale of Redemption. This is written by the Watchman Dana Glenn Smith. And this is part of the ministry of the WIBR Warren Radio Websites and Ministries. We are an independent biblical teaching, preaching, warning agency in these last days. And everything we use mostly is the King James Version of the Bible, unless we tell you it's another version. The work and ministry of the WIBR Warren Radio is about the testimony of Jesus Christ. Through the faith of Jesus Christ, by the mercy of God our Father, through his grace extended, flowing from the love of God to all people everywhere, commanding everyone to repent. So check out A Seasoned Tale of Redemption Truth, along with the many other articles and shows that we have on our websites. Now we have another one. Now this one actually comes to us from 21 Wilberforce. And it's really interesting about Wilberforce, and that's an actual guy. And he began a crusade a long time ago to help people. And they're out of Falls Church, Virginia. And I do get stuff from him once in a while. And this is about enduring hope. And the reason it's enduring hope is that it's about North Korea. Now we got two of these things here. The first one is a note from International Christian Concern at persecution.org. After working with the persecuted for 20 years, I've seen over and over again that nothing can stop God's church. In this ministry, you see the worst that the world has to offer, yet the gospel still goes forth. This is perhaps nowhere more evident than North Korea. The Kim regime has done everything in its power to squash the church. While the dictators have been responsible for dwindling the church's numbers Its members have become more dependent on the Lord, which is even more powerful. Through your generosity, we have been able to support believers in North Korea and reach the lost through radio broadcasts and other forms of gospel reach. Thank you for helping us spread the good news in the darkest places on earth. Now that's from Jeff King, International Christian Concern, persecution.org. Now this is one of the ministries that we recommend, and we do support. This is one of the ones on our support list. And boy, it's true. When they're working, they're able to do a lot of things, and it's an amazing thing that they can do. And we've actually did stories on those with the Christians coming out of North Korea itself. And once they get delivered out of there, they want to go back and take Bibles with them and risk their lives to get Bibles to those that they know.
That's really amazing.
It is. And, you know, in today's society, you don't see stuff like that. You know, and so at any rate, enduring hope. Okay, remember that. Now, another thing when we talk about enduring hope is an article, a little snippet, a thought from 21 Wilberforce out of Falls Church, Virginia. And they write, for many Christians around the world, simple acts of faith bring huge danger, particularly during this holiday, holy holiday. Now, this is Easter. Let's show our solidarity this Easter by praying for their protection and provision of resources, educating yourself on where the church is persecuted, what they are facing, and sharing financially. And that's very true, because we've been doing this for quite a number of years as well. And there's nothing like being able to financially help these people who have, listen, these people have many times no money, or, you know, just enough to stay alive. It's not like America. So as Americans, it behooves us to support the persecuted church. On Easter Sunday in 2019, now this again is from 21 Wilberforce. On Easter Sunday 2019, Father Kumaran, pastor of the Evangelical Zion Church in Batacaloa, spotted a casually dressed stranger carrying a bag standing on the steps of the packed church. After speaking with the man, the pastor learned he wished to attend the service. Another man then questioned the stranger and pushed him outside the door. It was 8:45 a.m. when the stranger blew himself up, killing 28 people and injuring hundreds. A total of 8 coordinated suicide bombings took place on Easter Sunday in Sri Lanka by Sri Lanka citizens who swore allegiance to ISIS. The attacks killed 268 people and injured 500 in Colombo and Batacaloa.
That is horrible.
Isn't that? You know, and these are the people, you know, unless you serve Jesus Christ and you've been born again of the Spirit, He is the only God. There is no other God.
Amen.
And just absolutely unbelievable. You know, it absolutely gets me how these people can justify killing hundreds and still think it's okay.
Yeah, and they're so full of hatred. And like the Bible said, in the last days, they think they'll be, when they kill Christians, they think they'll be doing God a service.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they're doing.
And demonic hatred that they're filled with is just unbelievable.
That's right. It is. Are you ready?
Yes. Okay. ADF, which is Allied Democratic Forces in the Congo, in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, attacked a village on midday, killing at least 7 people. This comes to us from International Christian Concern, persecution.org. ADF militants attacked a village midday, killing at least 7 people in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And that was on Tuesday, April 2nd. As members of the Allied Democratic Forces carried out a midday attack on the village of Mangodomo, located in Mangina, in the Democratic Republic of the Congo's North Kivu province. Koyora, a president of the Youth Parliament of Mangina, confirmed the deaths, adding that others were taken hostage and the local Christian health center had been looted and set on fire. The rebels entered Mangina without being noticed, Koyora explained. It was at the balloon roundabout that it crackled with bullets in the air. At least 7 people were killed, including a woman, after the ADFs went to the health center, which they looted before burning it down, and some nurses were taken hostage. In recent times, the ADF has violently targeted Christian hospitals and churches in the DRC to disrupt peace and stability in the region. One such devastating incident occurred at the CECA 20 Evangelical Community of Central Africa Hospital of Mangodumu, where the ADF militants set the facility on fire, leading to considerable damage and chaos. And tragically, some of the nurses at the hospital also went missing following the attack. The deliberate targeting of essential Christian institutions like hospitals and churches not only demonstrates the ruthless nature of the ADF, but also highlights their intent to undermine the social fabric and disrupt the provision of critical services to the local population, a local reverend said. By attacking places that are meant to provide care, healing, and support to communities, the ADF is not only causing physical destruction, but also instilling fear and insecurity among the people. And this attack comes roughly 4 months after the ADF killed 19 people, kidnapping many others, and looting shops in the village of Mukondai.
You know,
this is awful.
You know, this goes on and on and on, and I'm absolutely astounded. You know.
Yeah.
That the Biden administration and all of those who help him have been so ignorant, misguided, misinformed, and keep our borders open all the while, knowing that we have a lot of Christian churches, a lot of Christians, but yet our government has been the enemy in that they kept, you know, the border open. I mean, when you look at what's happening around the world, you would have to be foolish to do what America's doing today. And to see what these people are going through, and how and it happens all the time. I don't care, you know, what organization it is. If you're Christian, these guys come back time and time and time again. They attack soft targets. They attack people who don't have guns, don't have any way of defending themselves. They take women with them so they can rape them and make them their wives or even kill them. I have, you know, we have covered this over and over and over again. and one day it will come to an end.
That will be a great day.
So we are over in Nigeria. Oh, you know.
Yeah, that's disturbing.
This is another one.
Sad, tragic story.
Nigeria, Boko Haram persecution and murder of Christians. This comes to us from globalchristianrelief.org. This is another organization that we support and that we tell you is a reputable organization. If you love Jesus and you're in Nigeria, that equals a death sentence. Now, this is addressed to us because they send us these things out because we are regular contacts with them as far as supporting and things like that. So it says, Dear Dana, in the small Nigerian village of Madagali, Suzanne and her father tend their meager crops under the blazing African sun. You know, my heart goes out. Oh, I like gardening, you know.
Yeah.
But this is gut-wrenching. Without warning, armed militants from the radical Islamic terrorist group Boko Haram descend on them. I beg them not to kill my father. Suzanne vividly recalls as we sit together under a thatched roof. But the men do not listen. Suzanne can only stand by as her father is murdered, simply because of his faith in Jesus. You know, that just...
unimaginable.
And it's irritating, because there's no justice. But yeah, one day the God of justice will be here and will bring justice.
And it's so senseless.
Suzanne's chilling experience is an increasingly common one in northern Nigeria, where attacks against Christians have intensified in recent years. Boko Haram, whose name roughly translates to Western education is forbidden, terrorizes Christian communities across the region. Targeted assaults, kidnapping, church attacks are regular parts of life in northern Nigeria. These acts of aggression highlight the stark religious divides within Africa's most populous country. What's happening in Nigeria is atrocious and it's getting worse. More Christians are killed in Nigeria for their faith than in any other country in the world today. After the men shoot her father, one of them turns a gun towards Suzanne. They tell her to come with him, but Suzanne knows that's going with Boko Haram means she'll have to embrace Islam, enter a forced marriage, and risk never seeing her husband and children again. More than 5 million Nigerian Christians have been displaced over the last decade. Since 2009, more than 52,000 Christians have been killed.
That's horrible.
How do you like that number? Please remember your fellow believers like Suzanne and stand with them in prayer and support so they can remain a light for Christ in Nigeria, even in the face of violence. As the hot sun beats down on Suzanne, she feels the gun pressed to her head. She continues to stand her ground. And they're going to bring us an update on that. But if you want to help globalchristianrelief.org, go to their website, literally Global Christian Relief, and then the dot, and O-R-G, and donate to this fine organization to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. And with that, Tower.
Okay. The Rising. The Rising is a Christian fiction thriller, a story of personal survival, the struggle of a nation, and the love of two people set amidst the prophetic landscape of perilous times. Check out The Rising. It's written by The Watchman, Dana G. Smith. And you can get your copy of The Rising by going to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram, Walmart. The Rising ebook can be found on Google Play. And now back to you. It's a very good book, and it was written in 2019. And it details things, you know, back then, Dana detailed things that are actually happening right now in America. It's a very good read, even though it's a fiction book. It's very interesting, and you ought to check out and get a copy of The Rising by The Watchman.
Okay, we are in Pakistan talking about the blasphemy law. This comes from Assist News, and we have done these, you know, from Assist News, not a lot, but Assist News brings various stories to the forefront. This is about Anwar Kenneth. He has been in prison since 2001. They accused him of blasphemy. They haven't killed him, but he's been sitting in court. I mean, sitting in prison for all that time. The Supreme Court of Pakistan directed the country's top Islamic body to advise on whether a letter that left a Catholic on death row for 22 years was in fact blasphemous. Attorney Rana Abdul Hamid said the top court on March 12th sought the opinions of the Council of Islamic Ideology and two Christian religious bodies on whether a letter by a 70-year-old former government employee, Anwar Kenneth, falls within the definition blasphemy under Section 295C of Pakistan's controversial statutes. The section calls for a mandatory death sentence for insulting Islam's prophet, Muhammad. The three-judge bench comprising Justices Jamal Khan and a couple of others gave the direction after a long-awaited hearing of Kenneth's appeal against the Lahore High Court's 2014 decision to uphold his death sentence by the trial court. And that's that was told to the Christian Daily International Morning Star News. Kenneth, a former senior officer in the Punjab Fisheries Department, was convicted for sending a letter to Muslim religious scholars. Muslim heads of state, foreign diplomats in Pakistan, the United Nations Secretary General, and Christian theologians in 2001, and which he rejected Muhammad's prophethood. No wonder he's in jail, huh?
Yeah.
The lawyer argued that the rejection of Muhammad's prophethood by non-Muslims could not be considered blasphemy. Though Islam is one of the three Abrahamic faiths, Muslims believe in all prophets, including Jesus Christ, he wrote. Christians and Jews don't believe in Prophet Muhammad, Hamid said. In his open letter, Kenneth merely stated that his Christian belief does not endorse Islam. He wasn't using any derogatory language for Prophet Muhammad that warranted a conviction. Well, it makes sense, I guess. Now, they haven't come to a conclusion on that.
Well, I hope he gets off. He's been in there for 22 years already.
Well, you know, that's true, but the thing of it is that if you do anything against them, you know, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, as Christians, there is only one Lord and one God, period.
That's right.
Unless you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, he is the Almighty in Revelation 1. He is in the image of the Father. and he is known as the Almighty in Revelation chapter 1. Unless you believe that he is the one that came and died on the cross for the sins of men, you will die in your sins. Period. Because anybody else, there's no other God except for he.
Amen. That's true.
So.
Okay. Update on the Chibok girls. This is dated the 14th, which was Sunday. 14th of April, 2024. 10 years ago today, the Islamic extremist group Boko Haram broke into the government girls' secondary school in the village of Chibok in northeastern Nigeria and kidnapped 276 teenage girls, most of whom were Christians at the time. The event shocked the world, and the campaign to set them free trended on social media as hashtag bring back our girls. 57 girls escaped shortly after the kidnapping, and from 2016 to 2018, negotiations and military rescues led to another 108 girls finding freedom. In the last 2 years, another 20 of the girls, now women, have been rescued. Today, 91 of the Chibok girls remain missing. Official updates on the government's efforts to free the remaining women have all but stopped. Many of these women were forced to marry their abductors and have children of their own while living in the Boko Haram camps in the Sambisa forest. Not all of those who have escaped are free. The BBC recently reported that some of the women continue to live with their captors in Maiduguri, the capital of Borno State, where Chibok is located. The couples live in housing provided by the state's governor. Though the news has distressed the women's parents, many of the women who were married to the militants as teenagers have demanded to remain with their husbands, although their husbands have gone through de-radicalization programs, and the women have publicly said their decision to remain with their husbands is their own. Not everyone believes the women are truly free. Some people in Chibok are saying, how is it possible, after the rescue of the girls, they are still remaining in the Muslim faith? Though news of the Chibok kidnappings galvanized support for the Christian girls on social media, similar mass kidnappings occurring today in Nigeria barely make a blip. In early March, Boko Haram kidnapped 400 people from an internally displaced persons camp in Borno. Days later, armed nomadic herders attacked a school in Kaduna State, kidnapping at least 287 students and teachers. At least 130 of these students have returned to their families. Boko Haram and militant Islamic Fulani contribute to the continued recommendation for Nigeria to be designated as a country of particular concern, a CPC, by the United States Department of State. This designation would require the United States to address religious persecution in Nigeria that has caused the deaths of more than 50,000 Christians during the past 15 years, with Christians dying every 2 hours on average. That is just horrible.
Yep, and we were following a young woman,
Leah Sheribu.
And we had a lot of news out of there. But then, as of this date, we don't really know where she is. And that's what happens. That's the war. And it, you know, this...
It's real tragic.
Yeah, this is tragic.
And I have a hard time believing those girls actually want to stay with their captors. Maybe they're doing it out of fear. I don't know.
I don't know, but, you know, de-radicalization, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't believe that at all. Well, we're doing one from faithwire.com, and we just wanted to mention this one. And we've been covering the various revivals and things. And hundreds of young people embrace Christ and get spontaneously baptized in the back of pickup trucks.
That's funny.
Yeah, I think that is funny.
That's a good funny.
Yeah, it is. And this is Georgia. 1 year after the stunning six-day nonstop worship service at Ashbury University, and that was a big one. Yeah. An outpouring of sorts still appears to be striking various schools and student bodies across America. Well-known ministry leaders Jenny Allen and Jonathan Pokluta and others baptized hundreds of University of Georgia students Wednesday night. Rather than immersions in traditional baptismal pools, many of the students profess their faiths in the back of pickup trucks outside a fraternity, a truly unique setting. Online videos showed large crowds of students gathered around these trucks watching their classmates openly embrace Christ. Insane night at University of Georgia, Allen wrote in an Instagram caption. Once again, he is moving.
Praise
the Lord. Allen,
who
called these happenings so powerful, explained in the video that the baptisms followed an evangelistic event at Stegman Coliseum led by Allen and Pokluta. We preach Jesus. Worship's incredible, she said in an Instagram video, noting there are as many as 7,000 or 8,000 students assembled in the stadium. And so we are preaching Jesus, confessing sin, and all these students. It's just so beautiful. Allen said a call from the stage asking who wanted to embrace Jesus led young people from all over the venue to stand up. Then the baptisms unfolded in a parking lot in front of the fraternity. We found a public parking lot. We got four pickup trucks, Allen said, and we are baptizing kids in four pickup trucks. And all these fraternity guys are watching from their decks. Allen is the founder of IF Gathering, a women's ministry, a New York Times best-selling author. Pokluta is the lead pastor of Harris Creek Baptist Church in Waco, Texas, and a best-selling author. So you can go to faithwire.com and look for the story. It's just insane. Hundreds of young people embrace Christ and get spontaneously baptized in the backs of pickup trucks. And so,
well, bless the Lord.
That's what America needs, but we need a lot of it.
Yes.
You know.
But that's a start. That's a great start.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's been happening all around America. So it's not just one. And that's really what we need to pay attention to, that kind of thing. And we are back with Al-Shabaab. This is in Kenya. Multiple attacks on Christians. This is from International Christian Concern at persecution.org. This was on April 9th. Suspected Al-Shabaab members killed a farmer in Bobo Hindi, a Christian village in Kenya. You know, now this is terrible. You pick on these poor farmers.
Yeah.
You know, and they're doing work. They're not hurting anybody. Leave them alone. Later that afternoon, the militants barricaded a road. And they shot two travelers and set several vehicles on fire. Well, you know, the big thing of it here is many of the people never fire back.
Yeah.
There's no guns around. The only ones that have guns and cars and like four-wheel drives or motorcycles with machine guns on the back of them, those are the bad guys. And we've been covering this for a long time, and that's almost exclusively who has the guns. So if you don't have a gun, you know, you're up the creek when these guys are going around hunting for someone to shoot. Now, one of the local county commissioners confirmed the attack and said that only one person died and two people suffered minor injuries. You know, well, it's not bad. It's not bad. Just one person died and two people suffered minor injuries. Well, you know, if you had that every hour, if you had that every day, it would mount up.
One death is bad.
Yes.
Real bad.
Security officers responded quickly to the attack and pursued the extremists, but were unable to apprehend them. Now, that doesn't surprise me at all. Because we found in all of these, when they call the government is a day late and a dollar short almost 100% of the time, at least from the stories we get. After additional security officers arrive, vehicles traveling through the area were stopped and inspected. And some travelers detoured around it because of the fear of attacks. And an International Christian Concerns staffer said, "We spent the night awake and alert since we know that terrorists like attacking during or at the end of the holy month of Ramadan. One Christian survivor of the attack said the militants forced him to recite the Shahada, an Islamic statement of faith, to determine if he was a Muslim. After he lied and claimed he did not know the Shahada well because he had recently converted to Islam, the militants released him. Al-Shabaab is known to have crossed into Kenya and made people recite the Shahada to determine if they are Muslim. Those who do not recite it are considered Christians and often beaten or killed."
That's just terrible.
Yeah. And so, yeah, this is just baloney.
It's just gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
That our brothers and sisters around the world have to go through this.
I know. You know, and it is. And so they're praying for everybody. They want everybody to pray with them.
Yes.
And so, you know, pray for Kenya. Pray for peace to come to Kenya. Pray for the Christians and those around them to be safe. But these guys that fight, that's all they do. They get paid for it. There's money that they manage to make. It's not like they live outside of the law, too, so they could get them. Many of them help, you know, in the drug area, picking up their money, shipping drugs around.
That's terrible.
You know, either that or pushing illegal weapons. Who knows? So, are you ready? Or?
Yes. Kiln slave labor. Free Christian families from brick kiln in Pakistan via BarnabasAid.org. The brick kiln owner started deducting money from my wages against my loan, leaving me disheartened and feeling hopeless due to the burden of debt, said Majid, a Christian brick kiln worker. Gratefully, thanks to Barnabas Aid, I am now released from the weight of my loan. When his wife needed urgent medical attention, Majid was forced to take out a loan to cover the expenses. In desperation, he turned to his employer for a loan. This is the reality for thousands of low-paid Christian brick kiln workers in Pakistan. When faced with an emergency or illness, their only option is to take a loan from the brick kiln owner. These debts keep them bonded to the brick kiln. Faithful Christians like Majid and his family are trapped in debt. taken on in times of emergency. They can't repay it themselves. Can you help free, hardworking Christians in Pakistan? Until the debt is repaid, they become trapped and are unable to seek out another job. They cannot pay off their debt, as money is deducted from their wages to pay the interest. It becomes impossible for them to pay off the loan in full. They are effectively slaves. But thanks to Barnabas' aid, Majid received funds to pay off his debt and set him and his family free. The relief from this debt has brought great comfort. I now receive all my wages, explained Majid. They are now able to send their children to school and their newfound freedom from debt. Once again, a heartfelt thank you to Barnabas Aid for the invaluable assistance. And another story is Rafiq. He was 30 years in the brick kiln. His two sons also worked with him. Regretfully, I have struggled with my debt for a very long time. It was a legacy from my father. We found solace in Barnabas Aid. They helped me to finally be curse-free. Rafiq and his family inherited debt from a previous generation, but thanks to Barnabas supporters, they are finally free. And repayments do not end with one generation. The debt is passed on to the next generation, and in Rafiq's case, even his two sons must work to help pay it off. Through Barnabas's help, their debt has been repaid. We found solace in Barnabas Aid. They have helped me to finally be curse-free. Barnabas has freed a total of 2,023 brick kiln families since 2017. But thousands of our brothers and sisters still need help, trapped in desperate poverty and forced and bonded to brick kilns. In our next phase, we hope to free another 200 Christian families whose debts range from $360 to $1,200. If you would like to help, go to barnabasaid.org and you can help set Christian families free. You know, Dana, this is just horrifying that,
yeah,
that these brick kiln owners do that to these people. That it goes from generation to generation to generation and it never gets paid off.
Yep. And Barnabas Aid is another one of those ministries that we support and we recommend. And we recommend that you get involved with them or any one of the ones we've mentioned. But Barnabas Aid has really been working to free these families. And there's also been other ministries that's done that too. But when you get over in these areas where these people are at, you know, being poor is not just being poor. It's like there's a curse on them.
And you know that $360,
yeah,
to $1,200, that's not a lot of money to us Americans.
No.
But to them, it's an astronomical amount because it just, the interest on it just keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. It's wicked is what it is.
It is wicked. And, you know, I am glad that they were able to do it in these two stories.
Yeah.
You know, when you get done reading them, you know, you can feel the happiness in the story. You can, you
yes.
know. Especially this last guy who, you know, his dad, you know, he had to take care of what happened with his dad. But, you know, your whole family has to help you.
Yeah.
And so that's
just. And then the children have to help and they don't. So they lose out on becoming educated. It's a trap. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And so, we've had some interesting stories tonight. You know, Nigeria, ADF attacks. We had a couple on Nigeria, Pakistan, Kenya. You know, we've had them all around, and this is about the advocacy for the persecuted church. And so listen to these stories, pray for these people, and pray for others who are entrapped in these things. And consider giving financially to the organization of your choice to help free and help Christians that are persecuted globally. And so thank you if you will consider doing that. And, you know, I think it's very important to help these people. And you're so right when you talk about America, and then you see the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at any rate, things could change in America dramatically because of Joe Biden's agenda and what he's done. And but we're trusting the Lord to be able to turn this thing around. So pray for America,
amen,
as well. And so we've got a little bit of time, so go ahead and you can close and say what you want to say. And
okay. Thank you for joining us whenever you do. We appreciate you so much, and thank you for all you do for the King, Jesus Christ. And please pray for your brethren around the world, your brothers and sisters. Pray for them and pray for us as we pray for you. And we dearly love you, and may God bless you and make his face to shine upon you and look to him in all your needs. He will take care of you. Take care and be safe. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go to our websites at warn-usa.com and danalynsmith.com. Remember, our shows are 3 days a week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And you can listen to them on Blog Talk, on Spreaker, and we've got them on a lot of other places. All you have to do, you know, if you go on over to Dana Glenn Smith or over to warn-usa.com, we have all of our shows, and you can listen over there. But we also have a list in the sidebar of I think it's quite a few of those that carry our signal. You can get these shows worldwide. So be sure to listen to them. And this one is our Wednesday broadcast, Advocacy for the Persecuted Church. We are in Isaiah. We're going to be closing Isaiah out probably this summer sometime. We've been doing it for about five years. It's been an intense study. We don't know what we're doing after that one. And then our Friday morning show we do, and that's a different style of show entirely, and it also has the Word of God. So check out these things. You can listen to them, you know, in many places. So you can go by our websites, and you can even send us an email and ask us where you can listen. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Until next time, Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.